my heavenly home. It's bright and fair, but I feel like traveling on. No pain nor death can enter there, but I feel like traveling on. Oh yes, I feel like traveling on. Oh yes, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home, it's bright and fair, I feel like traveling on. It's glittering towers, it's bright and fair, I feel like traveling on. Let others seek a home below, I feel like traveling on. Which flames devour or waves or flow, well, I feel like traveling on. what you came to do, but I came to praise my Lord. I don't know what you came to do, oh, but I came to praise my Lord. Oh, I don't know what you came to do, oh, but I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah. Well, I don't know what you came to do, oh, but I came to praise my Lord. Oh, I don't know what you came to do, oh, but I came to praise my Lord. Oh, I don't know what you came to do, oh, but I came to praise my Lord. Hallelujah, oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, some may come and criticize, oh, but I came to praise my Lord. Well, some may come and criticize, but I came to praise my Lord. Well, some may come and criticize, oh, but I came to
what you came to do tonight. Oh, I don't know what you came to do. Oh, but I came to praise my Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing it again together. Well, I don't know what you came to do. Oh, but I came to praise my Lord. Well, together tonight. Well, I don't know what you came to do, oh, but I came to praise my Lord. Well, I don't know what you came to do, oh, but I came to praise the Lord. Well, I don't know what you came to do, oh, but I came to praise my Lord. Hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Good to be together in church again tonight just to worship the Lord together. And I want to announce again, Lord willing, our youth Bible study will be not tomorrow, but the following Thursday. That'll be May the 26th, and that's from the children ages 10 and up, the young people, rather. And that'll be from 7:30 to 9:30 here at the church in the fellowship area in the basement. And Sister Stephanie Duvall, her mom had a CT scan. And it came back that there was no reoccurrence of cancer, so I want to praise the Lord for that. And Sister Estera, she had a good report from the doctor today as well, so I want to praise the Lord for that. And Brother Furman turned in this testimony, said, my right leg was causing me quite a bit of pain. Last Wednesday evening, I was anointed with oil and prayed for. I would like to thank God for healing me and taking away the pain. Amen. That's from Brother Furman. He said, please remember April and the children in prayer. They'll be traveling on Friday. Want to remember them in prayer. And also want to remember our family, the entire family in prayer for Traveling Mercies this week. We'll be going up to Delaware to visit family, and I'll be preaching for Brother Jeff up there this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. So remember me in prayer. And we've got a prayer request from Sister Lisa Cooley. Says, prayer request for Sister Ann Albert, who's from Elkton, Kentucky, at Brother Byler's church. She's in Louisville receiving radiation treatments. Please pray for the pain to get better as well. Thank you. So we know that God's able to do that. We've heard testimonies about cancer and healings of pain and things like that tonight. So we know that God's able to meet those type of needs. So let's just join together in prayer for these. I'm going to ask Brother Layton if he'd just come and pray over these requests tonight. Let us pray.
Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, words escape us to try in this English language and express our love for you or even your greatness. Lord, I remember talking to you yesterday about that and trying to think of all the words that could express how wonderful and how great you are, and yet in my limited English, Lord Jesus, amazing and magnificent and wonderful and awesome, and all of these words, they don't even touch the amazing grace that you have for us. For you love your children. And I remember Brother Branham saying that you wanted to do for us or wanted to heal us more than we want to be healed. It's hard for us as human beings to grasp that when you're laying in pain and you're so sick that you just sometimes would rather die than continue on. But Lord, you want to heal your children and you want to provide for them, and you love us so much that you called us out of a world of sin and depravity and wickedness and filthiness, and even the best among us was still nothing but dirty rags and a sinner in your sight, but yet you loved us. Lord, we profess our love for you and our adoration, and we worship you and we praise you. And yet with all of this, we bring petitions before you, Almighty God. For you said, I am the Lord thy God that healeth all thy diseases. Lord, that means there's not a one of them that you cannot take care of. You made this body, you can heal it. If we'll just hold on to the promise, as Brother Branham taught us, and not look at the symptoms, but look to the promise. Father, we hold these up. This sister that Sister Lisa put in the prayer for, Lord, come on the scene for the lady. Heal your daughter, Lord, and raise her up to give glory to you. We thank you for the good reports that we heard tonight, Lord, of those that were healed. And Father, you've seen the need behind every hand and on every heart, the people that have loved ones and other needs, whether they be mental or physical or spiritual or monetary. Father, you're able to take care of all of them. We ask you to do that. We ask you to be with us now in this service tonight. Lord, walk up and down the aisles and between the pews. Bless your children. Refill us with the Holy Ghost, Lord, and give us wave after wave of thy sweet presence. And be with your children wherever they're gathered around the country at this time. We invite you in and thank you for all of these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Brother Luke, Sister Stephanie, and Brother Elijah.
Fight, the Lord leads on.
Sure enjoyed that song. You glad the Lord brought you out tonight? Amen.
Well, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? So glad that the Lord, He brought me out. Oh, I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. I've been so happy since the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, aren't you glad that the Lord brought you out? Oh, aren't you glad brought you out? Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been singing since the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been singing since the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord, He brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. I've been so happy since the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out.
I've been shouting since the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been shouting since the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out.
Amen. God bless you tonight. I'm going to take a few minutes before we enter into the service. Brother Eduardo had asked if he could share a testimony. I'm just going to ask him if he'd come at this time and do that before we go into the rest of the service. Certainly appreciate Brother Eduardo and the rest of the Mora family, and they've certainly been a blessing to us, and I hope we've been to them as well. Amen.
God bless you. I was thinking when I was sitting over there, I said, I hope Nathan has a big bag of gospel pills. So I don't get nervous in here. Praise the Lord. I'm good that I'm glad that he does. You pray for me. It's just His grace is tremendous to us, and it is sometimes impossible to just keep quiet, you know. I was just thinking about over there in my seat about that well over there by Georgetown or someplace over here. What Brother Brandon talked about, that well, that the well, if it could speak, it would say, it's not me, Brother Brandon, it's something else pushing. And that's what is going on with my heart. And I just couldn't help it. First of all, I want to not take a lot of the time. It's been several services, I can say maybe everyone, that we come to church and we have our Bibles and at the house before we go to bed every night. We will have our family devotion. We read the Bible. We play the quote of the day. And, well, the next day or the day after, we come to church. And then Brother Nathan is reading that same scripture. I didn't tell him already before several times. And just almost every service that over the week, we'll be reading something on the Bible. And then he will be preaching, and he's taking that Bible scripture. And I said, praise the Lord. And I hope you understand. First of all, my English is too poor, but I love the Lord. It's just tremendous. Couldn't help it. Yesterday, I was coming out of work, and I was going home on Spring Street in Jeffersonville. And all of a sudden, I saw this car coming my way, like a Chevy Suburban or something. And I said, I don't know who's that person in there. When I passed him, it was Brother Nathan. And he's got dark windows, something like that. And I couldn't see his face. And anyhow, and I said, maybe it's a sign for me. But anyhow, praise the Lord. This situation, the other day at the job, I was working with a man that I work with. He doesn't work for the company that I work with, but he works for another company. But we work hand by hand. We were talking about some things, and he asked about my nationality. And I told him something, but it was not quite right. I told Brother Nathan about it, and I went to the restroom. I came back, washed my hands, and I came back, and I feel greed on my heart. I said, I should have told him the reality. So I went back to him and I said, no. I told him that I was Portuguese or Italian, something like that. I said, no. He said, are you Aztec? I said, no. So I told him, I said, well, according to what I know, my last name is Hebrew. And then I went back and I was taking my lunch. And I said, Lord, why did I tell him something that is not a reality? And then I told him, and then I didn't feel comfortable. And I said, Lord, will you speak to me? You might think that I'm pretty emotional, but I talk to the Lord sometimes. And he answers, and he's merciful. And I said, Lord, I hear Brother Brandon when he was up in Mishawaka, Indiana, where he was puzzled about this situation of two men, one would speak in tongues, the other one would interpret. One was genuine, the other was a hypocrite. And he couldn't understand. But anyhow, the Lord opened the Bible for him and told him that the rain will fall upon the just and the unjust. Matthew 5:24, if I'm not mistaken, too. And so I said, Lord, then your prophet said that you're not an Indian giver, or your Bible is not a wishy board. I said, Lord, but could you speak to my heart about this situation? There have been several things developed in the last few months and years. And I wasn't quite sure. I said, Lord, will you speak to me? And I pray and I believe the Lord, and I open my Bible. And I open in James. I just finished reading Hebrews. And I open in James But I pray before I did that, and I asked the Lord to give me an answer. And when I opened in James, I just read one verse, actually. And it says here, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And it was just tremendous to me. And I thanked the Lord. And I said, well, this anointing is upon me. And I was sitting on the chair. And I said, and I prayed for something else. And I believe the Lord granted. So I went home and I said, praise God, he spoke to me. He surely spoke to my heart, certainly through his word. And I went home and Gethsemane, my daughter, my wife, and I believe it's Sharon Rose too. We prayed. Levi and Stephen were on bed, I believe. And we pray, and I told my wife, I said, I have something to share with you. And she said, what is it? I said, I'm going to tell you something. Let me open the Bible, and I'm going to tell you what the Lord did this morning. Here's the situation, and the Lord, I asked the Lord to speak to me directly. And he spoke on the very first verse that I read. I said, it's a direct answer from the Lord. And then Gethsemane, all of a sudden, she said, she opened her Bible. And then she said, my Bible has the Hebrew alphabet. Okay, praise the Lord. And I told her, I said, hold what you said. I told my wife, do you hear what you said? She said, yes, I did. I said, that's two. Then we finished our conversation, and we pray. We finished our conversation, and we play the quote of the day. And then at the Voice of God recordings, they had a message that brought around entitled, The Children of Israel. That was the third. The next day, I went to a store in Jeffersonville, and I was walking into the building, and I found a little pamphlet, a little card, like a business card, and it had the Star of David, Rabbi so-and-so. I said, that's four. Praise the Lord. The very day, I went to pick my daughter up in by Voice of God Corners back over there, and there's a man sitting on the car in front of the house. And he comes to me and he said, are you in the message? I said, yes, sir. And we were talking. He was talking some things, and I was waiting for her. And then I noticed that he had on a necklace, and he had the simple Star of David. It was just tremendous for me, and I couldn't help it. And when I saw Brother Nathan, I said, I'm going to share this with him. That I asked the Lord to speak to my heart through his word, and he did. And he confirmed it all day, that day and the next day too. And then when I saw him yesterday, when I was talking to him on the phone yesterday, I said, I'm driving over here on 62, and there's a patrol besides me. It looks like a state patrol or something. I said, but he's got some kind of star in there, but it's five only. I think it's a trooper or something. But anyhow, even I'm talking to you, I'm looking at the star, and it just means a lot to me. You probably won't understand. It seems to be like riddles to you, especially because my lack of English, and besides that, I don't want to get into full details because of the time, but it's been tremendous to me, to my wife. The children are a little bit, they don't understand a lot of things. They need to be saved, first of all, and receive the Holy Ghost to understand that the God still speaks. And I believe, last thing before I sit down, Brother Nathan, I believe that the God works through natural. The God that I know has spoken to me through natural. Many times, many places. I thank God that I don't know God just by faith. I know him by faith. I had to believe him by faith. But I see him acting all the time. And I get to think when I sit down in my house, when I'm working or doing something, and I begin to meditate in my heart, I said to myself, I said, if God was just a God of that it was back then, and then the God it will be for us, it will be a good God for me. But I always believe that I need a God of the now. Amen. I need him today, every day. And I thank him because he makes himself present. The last thing before I sit down, there are so many things. But I was sharing a testimony with Brother Brian back over there about how I received the message. That would take hours to tell. But it's related to this rabbi from New York. Maybe many of you saw the testimony from Brother David Musgrove. how the Lord spoke to him in a dream and told him to get in touch with a man named David Masro, and he will tell him about the message. That's the way I received the message too. And I was just reading the Bible today where Paul himself too, he was a master, he was a teacher in Israel, but even the Lord appeared to him, but he told him, you go to a certain place and there it will tell you what to do. Amen. This rabbi, when he received the message, was told him to go to a sermon and he will explain the message to him. When I received the message, the same. It was through a dream. I received the message and the Lord told me certain things to do and go to a certain people. And that's the way I know God. Just the last one. Sometime I go to... I was telling my wife, I said, do you know that in the Bible says that David will be a shepherd, will be a king, will be a ruler over Israel? We're talking about doctrine and things like that. And I said, she said, no, I don't know. I said, it's in the Bible. I said, somewhere in the Bible. I can't remember where. I said, I read it before. That he'll be a leader. He'll be a shepherd. And I opened my Bible. And right there. It was Ezekiel 34. And my eyes did not fall on 10 chapters before, 6 verses below. My eyes fell right there on Ezekiel 34. I have some notes over here, but it will take a lot of time. And I told her, I said, this is the God that I know. This is the God that I know. If God doesn't speak to our hearts, what are we doing? That's what I believe, and it was just tremendous. And I just want to tell you that I appreciate you all. I love you. We love you. We appreciate Brother Nathan. That was one of the reasons that I want to testify to. I said, how can I do it? Should I send him a letter? Should I call him? I have no intelligence or ability to tell him personally. I said, when that situation took place yesterday, I said, probably this is the time when I have to testify about this and then tell him, that I appreciate every one of you here, that I appreciate your stand for the word, your love for this message, and the singleness of heart to be able to receive the gospel in a way that the Holy Spirit is so great that he comes amongst you and bless you. And it's just... tremendous to know these things, you know. When you surrendered something to the Lord, He can use that. Amen. If you surrender your eyes, you will see God. Amen. If you surrender your ears, you will hear God. Amen. If you surrender your way of dressing, your way of acting, the places that you go, the things that you do, Amen. He will bless you there. Amen. So, I was hearing Brother Reagan just the other night, where he was talking about a situation where he was putting a mechanical instrument or something together, and he was not able to put it on. He read all the instructions and the screws and nuts and everything, and he couldn't make it. He said that he went to bed, and while he was in bed, the Lord told him how to do it. And he said, you might think that I'm too spiritual. He said, no. He said, the situation is this. When you walk in with the Lord, Amen. He will speak to your heart. Amen. And he does. It's just tremendous. May the Lord bless you. If you didn't understand what I said, I can talk to you personally if you want to ask me more about it. They said, what was the testimony about? Well, he asked the Lord for a sign and a Bible and all of a sudden, Lustin, promise you. I just remember so many things. Anyhow, the message they play at the Boy Scout recordings, it was the children of Israel. Now, that was the 12 too. 12 tribes, it was the day 12. God bless you. Appreciate you. God bless you. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God still speaks. Amen. Amen. He still works and he still answers prayer and he still vindicates. When you got a question, he's got an answer. Amen. Amen. Appreciate that tonight. Let's just stand together before we go into the word tonight. Let's just sing this together.
Oh, I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in.
city in the sky when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow, free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout, how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. There will be a great procession over on the streets of gold when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing o'er that city will be rolled when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow, free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout, how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong when the redeemed are gathering in. But the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed. Oh, then the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet board when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow, free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout, how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed wash like snow, free from all sin. Oh, I'm gonna shout, I'm gonna sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, but the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow, oh, free from all sin, I'm gonna shout, I'm gonna sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Amen. You looking forward to it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn tonight, if you would, to St. Mark chapter 11. St. Mark chapter 11 and verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. Amen. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith,
amen,
shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Amen.
Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Amen. Let's bow our heads together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne tonight, Lord, I just ask that you'd be with us. Lord, may you take complete control of the service. May you have preeminence, Lord, just have your way in the service. Lord, as Brother Jordo was given testimony tonight, Lord, how that you still speak through your word, Lord. And how many times when we need encouragement, maybe we've read those same verses, maybe we've read those same quotes before, but right when we need them, Lord, you bring them to our remembrance or you show them to us. And Lord, how it uplifts us and encourages us, just gives us a confirmation and just strength to go on a little further and press the battle a little harder. Lord, I just ask that you be with the service tonight, Lord. And Lord, just appreciate how your Holy Spirit works on both ends of the line to hear testimonies, how that different ones reading scriptures in their home or talking about situations in their car on the way to church, and then how that you move on the scene through the different ministers or different ways, Father, Lord, to speak to hearts still today. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for vindicating, Lord, that we're on the right path, Lord, and that you're still moving, still dealing with hearts, Lord. And just ask that you continue to be with us tonight, Lord. We appreciate all these things that we've heard, the healings and the testimonies that have taken place, Lord, but we need you again tonight, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that you'd move on the scene for each need represented here tonight. May you move in a way that only you can. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. I want to look at this thought we've been on again tonight on Speak the Word. And we've been looking at Brother Branham's ministry the last few weeks, and want to look into that a little further tonight. And reading this scripture about how that whatsoever you have a need of, whatsoever you desire, being able to speak and speak the word, and not just to speak it, to name it and claim it, but the Holy Spirit giving the unction and something that where there's a need, being able to speak and God to be able to come and confirm something. And I want to look at this and speak to this mountain, 1959. Brother Bram's talking about when he was there in Salem, Indiana, right around the place that Brother Morrow was talking about, where the bubbling brook was a few miles down the road from that. Is where the squirrels were spoken into existence the first time there in Salem, Indiana. And he says, I was thinking of that scripture, Mark 11:23, ask what you will. I thought, well, what would I ask? There's no sick people here. What could I do? I thought. There's nothing out. Maybe am I beside myself? I said, what would I ask for? And something said, just as plain as you hear my voice saying, aren't you hunting and you have no game? Now here he's out here and he's meditating on this scripture, ask what you will. And a voice speaks to him, says, why don't you ask what you will? He said, well, what would I ask for? There's no sick people out here. What would I do? And he said, aren't you hunting? Aren't you hunting and haven't got anything? You say, oh, I don't think God would work like that. Well, go read your Bible a little further. I don't think God would create a squirrel. I don't think that, you know, why would God waste his creative power to do something like that? Well, he used his creative power to create the first squirrel. I don't know why he wasted his time creating the first spider. I wish he hadn't done that myself, but he had a reason for it. Maybe we don't understand it. He had a reason for doing these things. Why would God, when thousands and thousands of little sick babies, little children dying and people all over the world passing into eternity, why would he use his creative power to speak life back into a little sunfish down at Dale Hollow Creek, or Dale Hollow Lake, rather? Why would he spend time resurrecting a little fish when there was maybe many mothers weeping that day over little children that they had lost, or maybe people weeping over their loved ones, maybe their spouse had died, and he has a prophet stand up in the boat and say, thus saith the Lord, you'll see the resurrection of a little animal. Why would God do something like that? Because God is sovereign. God can do what he wants to do. God, whatever God wants to speak, whatever God wants to do, he's more than able. He can use his power in any way he wants, on anybody he wants, and through anybody that he wants.
Amen.
Amen. I know people don't believe that today, but one time he spoke through a donkey. Why didn't he send a king or a priest or some mighty man? Why didn't he send some learned, educated man to speak to Balaam? He spoke to him through a donkey. That gives me a little bit of hope tonight that he can use me for something.
Why would he waste his time on a little bitty fish to resurrect it? Why would he waste his power on creating a squirrel when there are so many things? He could have created lambs. He could have created eyeballs. Yes, that's true. He does those things too. But he wants us to know that he cares about the little things. He wants you to know he cares about you tonight. Some of the little kids will come up sometimes and ask prayer for their little kittens and things like that, and their parents act embarrassed about it. But you shouldn't be embarrassed. God cares about that. God could have been teaching us some great mysterious thing on a tape, and he takes time out of a prophet's message to tell us the story of a little bitty sunfish that was resurrected back to life. There was probably people sitting there saying, oh my, I wish he'd teach a little deeper tonight, but oh my, resurrection's plenty deep enough for me. He resurrected this little fish. You say, well, I don't know why God would do that. Why would God take time to provide a ram for Abraham out there in the wilderness? Why didn't he create him something better? Why didn't he create him something to where he would never have to worry financially again? Why wouldn't he create him a great big house? Or why wouldn't he just make him to where he would never even have to die, or that Isaac would never have to die? Why wouldn't he use his power on something like that? Why would he create a ram out there in the wilderness? Because he had a reason in doing it. It was going to be a type, perfect spiritual type of a perfect lamb that was going to be provided for us. When, like Isaac laying there on the altar, it should have been us that was going to the cross, but yet he provided a ram for him. He created a ram out there where there wasn't any ram. He created a ram up there where Brother Bam said, up above the tree line there, where there was only animals that would be there to prey on it and eat it, and there was no reason for it to be there, but God put it there. God put a fish in one time in a prophet's way that was running from him, or thought he was, but he was working right into God's perfect plan. Why wouldn't God have created some great cruise liner? Why wouldn't have God just transported him like he did Philip? I believe he could have did it. Why didn't he use his power to do that? Why create a fish? Why would he create something that scoffers and scientists and you know, people that study animals would make fun of, say, oh, a whale's mouth isn't big enough to do that. God created the fish. He can still create tonight. You say, I just don't know about some of these material things. I don't know if God works that way. He restored meal in a barrel and cruse in oil one time, or oil in the cruse, rather. He made an axe head to float one time. That was pretty material. Why would he waste his power on an old axe head that somebody could have went down and probably bought at the Five and Dime store or whatever they had back then, went down to Ace Hardware or whatever they had and bought him another one? Why would he waste his infinite power on an axe head? He wants you to know that he cares about the little things. Why would he go, as we just read the scripture at the beginning of the service, when Peter was walking back by and Jesus had went to get figs, as we've looked at some of these things over the last few weeks, and he cursed the fig tree, and they come back the next day and it's already withered away, and he was shocked. He said, look at how fast it's withered. He just spoke this yesterday. Why would God waste his spoken word? Why would Jesus use his power on an old fig tree that would have probably died on its own in a few years anyhow? He's the God that can speak anything. He can speak it into existence. He can speak it out of existence. He's sovereign. However he wants to bless you, he can bless you. Even if everybody else tells you that you're cursed, they can't curse what God has blessed. And on the other side, we can't bless what God has cursed, no matter how hard we try. But yet he comes along. They could have prayed. They could have had all-night prayer meetings. They could have laid up and added potting soil, and they could have added fertilizer, and they could have propped it up and dug it up and watered it and did everything that you could do, like we have to do a lot of so-called message believers today, and patted it and petted it, and it wouldn't have done a bit of good because God had already cursed the thing. Why would he do that? Why would he spend his time? Why would, when they called him at the marriage in Cana of Galilee, why would he go? And why wouldn't he just tell them about, you know, some financial blessing that they could go and buy him some wine? Why would he use his creative power to turn water into wine? Because he's sovereign. He can do what he wants to do. He can still do whatever he wants to do tonight. He turned the water into wine. He sent the demons into swine. He did all kinds of things. He created loaves and fishes twice, fed 5,000 plus women and children one time, 4,000 plus women and children another time. I believe he's still that same God tonight. Peter was out fishing one time and Jesus borrowed his boat. And he said, why don't you go out and cast again? He said, Master, we've been fishing all night. But because it's you that says, because it's you that told me to do it, I wouldn't do it. I'm too tired. I'm too frustrated. I've seen too many failures. I wouldn't go and do it again for anybody else. But because it's you that says, I'll let down the net again. And he brought in so much that even his buddies had to come in their boat and help him to bring in the catch of fish that he had. Where was those fish? This was a man that lived on that lake. This was a man that lived on that sea. He knew it like the back of his hand. He knew where the schools of fish were. He knew what time they was eating and what time they wasn't eating. And he had cast and he had cast and he had been at the right place at the right time. But he had one element that was lacking. He didn't have the right person telling him what to do. And Jesus said, cast over again, Peter. You know, he didn't just do that once after the resurrection. He told him, he said, have you got any meat? And they said, no. And he said, go cast over on the right side of the boat. See, the problem was they'd been casting on the wrong side. He told him, you go cast on the right side of the boat. When they did, they caught 153 fish. I don't know why the Bible took time. I don't know why the apostles took time to write how many fish he caught that day. But I'm glad that they did. I'm glad that we know these things. This is a part of God's infallible word. And it shows that if he provided for them way back then, he can still do the same thing for you tonight. There was a man that got into tax trouble one time. And Jesus told him, he said, you go down and there's a coin in a fish's mouth. Go ahead and pay your taxes and mine too while you're at it. He's still that same God tonight. Oh, I don't believe God would do things like that. Well, go back and read your Bible a little further. Before you make fun of the squirrels and the fishes and things, go back and look at the loaves and go back and look at the axe heads and the cursed fig trees and things. God has always worked in that way. And the simplicity of it goes right over the top of people's heads, but yet he goes on and does what he wants to do anyhow.
Amen.
Amen. He saves who he wants to save. Amen. I can't save anybody tonight, but he can save whoever he wants to.
Yes, sir.
Perfect Faith, 1963. Oh, where should we be? There's perfect faith. No vision, just speak the word. Never saw the squirrel. That's what he said. He didn't see a vision. God didn't show him the squirrels and where they were going to be. He said, you speak the word. He just said this scripture, what it was, and speak it. And don't doubt it, but what you say, it'll be there. And I took God at his word, and it was there.
Amen.
Let me tell you again tonight, I mentioned it on Sunday morning, God is not a respecter of persons.
Amen.
God, we are many times, we're respecters of people because of their years or because of their wisdom or because of their salary or because of the number of degrees they have on their walls or the number of this or the number of that, whatever it would be. Many times we're respecters of persons when we shouldn't be, but God is not a respecter of persons. And if he did something for somebody and met them on a ground at one place one time, and he said, if you'll meet this condition, then I'll do this for you. Then if he doesn't do the same thing for somebody else that'll meet him on the same condition, then he changed his way somewhere. The problem is many times that we don't meet him on the same condition that they did. We aren't desperate enough. We don't have enough faith. We don't have enough emphasis on his word and its simplicity to just take him at his word like Abraham did. Can you imagine Abraham about a year in? Well, you know, God said he'd make me a father of many nations, but it's been a year and I guess I just don't believe it anymore. I guess I'll just walk away. That wouldn't have been an Abraham.
Nope.
Brother Abraham said it took 100 lots to make an Abraham. Why was it? The caliber, the character of this man, that he walked with God and he didn't stumble, even though it was 25 years. He staggered not at the promise. We put time elements on God many times. Lord, if you'll do it by this time, I'll believe you. If you'll do it by this time tomorrow, if you'll do it next week, if you'll just let me set a time frame on it. God doesn't work like that. God works on an element of faith that it doesn't matter if it takes 3 seconds or 37 years. You anchor your faith in his word and he'll bring it to pass somewhere down the line. It may not come in the way you expected it to come. It may not come the way. It may not come through the person. It may not come through the outlet that you thought it would come through. But yet God will bring it to pass somehow.
Amen. Yes,
Many times we're praying and we think, oh my, I know I've got this financial need, and Lord, just lay it on Aunt So-and-so's heart. She's wealthy. And Lord, you just lay it on her heart. She's got the capability to do it. She's got the funds right in the bank. Just lay it on her heart, Lord. And then some little widow woman come around and slip us a $100 bill and think, well, why on earth? I didn't want it to come that way, Lord. He'll send it the way he wants it to come.
Right.
Speak it and don't doubt it, but what you say, it'll be there. And I took God at his word and it was there. That's right. That's just as powerful. And friend, as your pastor, that's just as powerful as it was when Joshua stopped the sun, because the sun was already there. The elements was moving and he stopped the movement. But this, he brought something there that wasn't there. He created. I'm so glad to be acquainted with a God that can take the dust of the earth someday without anything and call me back to life again. That same faith after I've been planted in the grave, oh my, there it is, he said. That same God's still God tonight. That same God's still here for your needs tonight. We still see that same God moving. There was a sister put a testimony in the book, and she didn't say who it was, and I won't say who it was, but when we was back at the storefront, there was a brother that came to me. He said, Brother Nathan, I don't know the needs of the church, but he said, the Lord's blessed me with a little bit of excess, and he said, I just want to do something. He handed me an envelope, and in that envelope, there was 15 $100 bills. He said, you do with it whatever you feel led to do with it. And there was three families that I knew was struggling a little bit at the time. I didn't know the exact need, but I split that up three ways and gave 500 to this family and 500 to that family and 500 to another family. And I didn't know it till I began to read the book that they put together for me the other day. But one of the sisters had a $500 bill that she owed, and she owed some tithes too. Oh, it's going to get quiet in here already tonight, I can tell. He's preaching on tithes again. I'm trying to testify. She owed her tithes too, and she went and she thought, well, I've trusted God this far, I'll trust him a little bit further. And she paid her tithes that service, and when she got out to the car, one of the deacons handed her an envelope, and she looked in there, and there was the $500 that she needed to pay the bill. Now, that doesn't bring any glory to me or the other brother, because we didn't know the situation. We didn't know the person. We didn't know the bill. We didn't know the details. But God laid it on one person's heart to bring it to me, and then he laid it on my heart to give it to somebody else. And he did all that and orchestrated all that and orchestrated the excess for the brother in the first place. And a sister praying, God, I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill, but I'm going to trust in you. And God in the background began to orchestrate this situation to that situation to that situation. What was it? He was speaking to her mountain. And there were some stones that began to roll. And they began to roll this direction. They began to roll that direction. They just rolled out and laid out just perfectly. Amen. Brother Jimmy, I don't want to pick on him tonight, but he was off work with his surgery on his Achilles tendon for 4 months. And the barrel began to get a little thin, I'm sure, many times. But God provided every time for 4 months. He didn't have any income. He didn't have workman's comp. He didn't have unemployment because of the way the accident happened and things. There he sat with no income, but God provided the income. Amen. He testified to me, said, I wasn't late on one bill. Why? Because we serve that kind of God. Amen. That's concerned about the details. That's concerned about your financial needs. That's concerned about your pets. That's concerned about your children's, where they skin their little knees and things. He's concerned tonight. Yeah. If he was concerned about a little sunfish, if he was concerned enough to encourage a prophet by creating some squirrels, he's concerned about you tonight.
Amen.
St. John chapter 14, verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you that he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Brother Bram says this in Shalom, 1964, Sierra Vista, Arizona. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater shall you do, greater. He promised it. We wondered how it could be. But did you notice when he performed his first miracle, he took water and turned it into wine. Is that right? He took water, which potentially someday might have been wine, but it was water first. You say, how could that be? Well, he explains it in another quote. I don't have it up here, but he said that water would have eventually ran down those vines and into those grapes, and it would have changed to wine. Eventually, God could have taken the water, but that he sped up the process.
Right.
Sometimes we just need him to speed up the process a little bit. Lord, I know you're able, but just speed up that process for me again tonight. And when he fed 5,000, what did he do? He took something that had been like water. He took a fish that once swam and was born from an egg, and he broke it, and another fish growed out onto the creation that was the original creation. That's my God.
Amen.
This little bitty fish was born from a little bitty fish egg, and he swims around and he lives his whole life, and all of a sudden a fisherman catches him and chops his head off and sells him to the market, and a little boy's mother comes down one day and buys the fish from the market, and she puts it in the little boy's lunchbox to take to lunch that day. And all along, since this little egg of a fish was way back there in his great-great-granddaddy, God was predestinating a story that would live in the pages of your Bible. All the way back in this fish's great-great-granddaddy, this egg went to that egg, and this fish went to that fish, and on down, and he laid there, and maybe there was bigger fish that swam by and tried to eat him when he was a little bitty tadpole, but that was a predestinated fish. God already had a plan for him.
Yes.
And then we get worried about ourselves and whether we're going to make it and whether we're going to die or not. God has already predestinated what your life is going to be, and it doesn't matter what comes or what goes. There's nobody, even Satan himself, cannot take you until God is finished with you.
Amen.
Satan himself, I don't care how much he huffs and puffs and what he does, he can't take you until God's done with you. They said that's why Stonewall Jackson would go out there on the battlefield and he'd ride out around there. Even one day there were some men, they were fighting some Union soldiers, and they found out that they were outnumbered and that they didn't have enough ammunition, and the South had a better position and everything. And he rode right out there to their front line with a little handkerchief and waved it as a white flag and said, "Go on, boys, we don't want to just massacre you." And they shot at him. He rode right out there in front of their muskets and was trying to call a truce and say, "Look, you're outnumbered, you're outmanned, you're outpositioned. We just want to let you go." And they shot at him point blank, but they didn't kill him. He'd ride up and down the in front of the battle, they said many times, looked like a spectator. And he said, "God has predestined my hour of death." And he said, "I'm just as safe on the battlefield as I am in my own living room." Oh, I wish we could get that revelation tonight. Sometimes people worry, "Oh, this brother going over here to Africa and this brother going over to India and things." Don't you worry about that. If they're in the will of God, they're just as safe. I don't care if they're in a Muslim country or a Hindu country or an atheist country or whatever it would be. They're just as safe over there, wherever it is, whether it's in prisons, whether it's in deserts, whether it's in jungles with malaria. If they're in the will of God, they're safer there than they are in their own recliner. God could take care of this little fish, and he works his way to this little boy's lunchbox. And the little boy on the way to school one day, he hears a great man speaking, and he begins to stop and listen to the story that's being told. And they have some need of some food for 5,000 people, and they look throughout the whole crowd. Nobody's got a Tic Tac, nobody's got beef jerky, nobody's got nothing, but this one little boy has some fish and some loaves, and he says, "That's enough, just bring that to me."
Right.
You say, "I don't have nothing, Brother Nathan. I can't play piano, I can't preach, I can't sing, I can't do nothing." Can you testify of how the fire got lit? Just run with that. God will bless that until he gives you something else. He didn't have much, but when he gave it to Jesus, it was all that all of them needed. It wasn't just all that he needed. Maybe that wouldn't have been enough. I don't know if he was a big boy or a little boy or a chubby boy or a skinny boy. I don't know what he was. But maybe it wasn't even enough that it would have filled him at lunch. But it not only filled 5,000 men plus women and children. Yes. They took up 12 baskets full.
That's right.
That's not Walt Disney. That's the word of God.
Amen.
God takes this little egg. Brother Bram said he took a fish that once swam and was born from an egg. He broke it and another fish growed onto the creation that was the original creation. And he would take and break off, and he wasn't making sushi, but Brother Bram said it was fried fish.
Right.
Amen. I'll take his word for it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Fried fish. Oh, my, I'd love to be able to do that, Brother Hoover. Go down here to Clarksville Seafood and buy one meal and just be able to keep breaking off and feed the whole church. They'd say, "What on earth is this guy doing out here? He's able. He may not do it in the way that Jesus did it. I may not be able to break it off and do it, but God's able to do those things.
Yes,
if we have a need, he's got the answer.
Yes, he does.
He took bread that was once wheat and was a seed and become bread, and he broke from this bread, and the creation only multiplied. But in the woods, there was nothing there to make a squirrel. Let there be, and there was, without anything to break it from. Now, I know they make fun of this, and they say, oh, you know, why would God create a little bitty squirrel and then just kill it in the next instant? Well, he did the same thing for Abraham. He created a ram, and he sacrificed it the next minute.
Man.
There were a lot of rams that had lived down through the ages, but there was not many rams that personally had their name written and their story and their about all the that they performed written in the Word of God. There were a lot of squirrels out here that, you know, they were roadkill or they were, you know, eaten by other animals or whatever it would be, but not a whole lot of squirrels made it into the pages of the Last Day Message. So I think it was a privilege for this squirrel to be so, probably one of the most famous squirrels that ever lived was these squirrels that was created out there. And they could have lived a little bitty squirrel life and got ran over by a big semi tire and nobody would have ever known about them, but now their name lives on. In the woods, there was nothing there to make a squirrel. Let there be, and there was without anything to break from it. What is it? The same Jesus Christ. See, greater things than this will you do, for I go to my Father. Not take something that's been created, break something from it, and multiply a creation, but absolutely create. Amen. Showing that he's the same Jehovah that stood back there and said, let there be, and there was. Don't get stumbled at a squirrel or a sunfish. God created all of the mammals and the animals and the fish and the people and everything with his spoken word. He didn't have a hammer. He didn't have a nail. He didn't have a tube before. He didn't have a piece of plexiglass or fiberglass, or he didn't have a piece of drywall. He just began to speak and said, let there be.
Amen.
And there was. Let there be, and there was a fish. Let there be, and there was a whale. Let there be, and there was a lion. Let there be, and there was a dog. Let there be. How long do you want me to go on tonight? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Let there be, and there was an eagle. Oh, I'm so glad he created some eagles.
Amen.
Amen. I'm so glad that we was able to recognize an eagle scream when we heard it. And he continued to say, let there be, and there was. Let there be. There had never been light. It was only darkness. And he spoke and said, let there be light, and all the darkness began to move back. If he can do that in complete darkness, he can speak to the little bit of darkness in your life, whether it's discouragement, whether it's family troubles, whether it's physical troubles. Brother Layton already preached part of this sermon in his prayer, whether it's mental problems or spiritual problems or financial problems, whatever it would be, God's still able to speak to your darkness tonight. And say, let it be.
Hallelujah.
His word was made manifest when he was made flesh on the earth. He took his original creation, broke it, and multiplied it. But now in the last days, when he comes down among us again, the same light that moved down said, let there be light. See, he just speak the creation into existence. Greater than this will you do, for I go to my Father. Remember, we're at these times.
Amen.
We're at these times. These were the days when the word was going forth, the speaking of the word, not just squirrels and not just fish, but this was the speaking when all the things that had been hid down through the ages was being proclaimed forth, and things that had never been uttered were being uttered forth. He said they were there, but they were in mystery form. They were there, but they were in symbol form. And a prophet of God comes and begins to speak, and light begins to shine down through the age and show us, what was it? The speaking of the word again in our age. Shalom again, 1964, this time in Phoenix, Arizona. He says, it seems humble. It seems like it goes over the top of people's head. Look, when he was here on earth, how could you do greater works? I've translated that many times more, but the same thing, greater. He said in St. John 14:12, greater works than this shall you do. Did you notice? When he went to make water into wine, he took water first, an already created substance, and turned it into wine. When he fed 5,000 people, he took a fish that once swam in the water, broke it, handed out, and multiplied creation. He took bread that was once wheat, baked into bread, broke it, and handed out to the people, and it returned back again, multiplied creation. But in the last day, where there's no sign of creation, he speaks it into creation anyhow, shows to be the same God that was in the beginning.
Amen.
He can create squirrels. He can create whatever he wants to, because he is God. Greater things than this will you do, for I go unto my Father. He can create a way for you tonight.
Amen.
It's not just squirrels that he can create. He said he creates whatever he wants. The word is infallible, and it has to be manifested and has to be fulfilled. Greater than this shall you do, not multiplying, but speaking out into creation. You say, oh, you mean to tell me that you think Brother Branham did greater works than Jesus Christ did when he was here? You're trying to make Brother Branham greater than Jesus. No, it wasn't Brother Branham doing the works. It was just him speaking the word, and it was God that was doing the works.
Amen.
And not only was it God that was doing it, God had to be able to fulfill his word that he had already spoken way back 2,000 years ago when he said, greater works than this shall you do. Oh, I know he translates it many times more, but you go back and look at what he says down through here in 1964. He said it had to be greater to fulfill the word. Greater works.
Amen.
Taking and creating where there wasn't anything. Creating it. It wasn't Brother Branham that created the squirrel, but he was the one that spoke the word. It's not you that's going to get you out of your situation. It's God, but he's waiting for you to confess it. Brother Branham said he's the high priest of our confession. He said that word confess and profess is the same thing. He said you've got to profess it. You've got to go out, not walk out of here with your head down and your feet dragging and say, well, I guess I'll never make it. You better watch it. You better watch what you speak into existence in your life. Well, oh, I got this bruise. I guess it's a cancer. Or, oh, I got this pain. I guess it's a tumor or a blood clot or something. You better be careful about the power of your words and your confession. I'd rather go and say, I don't know what it is, but I'm healed. I don't know. I don't care what the doctor said. I'm already healed. 2,000 years ago, I was healed on Calvary, and they can fill out the prescription in May of 2017, but the main prescription was already filled 2,000 years ago, not at Walgreens or Rite Aid or Meijer, but it was filled at Calvary. When he gave his blood by his stripes, I'm already healed. It's a finished work at Calvary. Amen. I'm not telling you to throw away your medicine. I'm not telling you to stop going to the doctors. I believe God heals through that way too. But don't just use it as a crutch to bypass God, and don't take their word so much that it gets you so discouraged that you want to give up and just go ahead and crawl in a casket somewhere. But you do what they can do to help you as long as they can. And when they tell you they can't help you any further, I've got a higher help that I can take you to tonight. When they say all hope is gone, I say, no, they just don't know my God. When they say something's incurable, I say, no, they just don't know my God.
Amen.
Amen. We've seen him cure incurable diseases around here. He's still that same God tonight. There's a man here that can turn on the light in 1963. It was Moses even picked up sand and said, let there be fleas and so forth like that upon the earth. But in this last day, he doesn't take anything. See, just the word, let it be, and it is. What is said, that's the way it'll be. Whatsoever you say. Brother Branham said in one place, he said, people say nothing is impossible to God. He said, go back and read it again. He said, nothing is impossible to you. It may look impossible. It may be impossible on your own. But if you've got the right pilot guiding your ship, there's nothing that's impossible for you tonight. God provided a lamb, 1956. That lamb come into existence in 1 minute. He's talking about Abraham over here. That lamb come into existence 1 minute and died the next. For one man taking God's word, God provided the thing. And he's still Jehovah Jireh tonight that'll provide the sacrifice. And every time that a man or woman will take his word and step out on it and call it truth, I felt someone say it was a vision. It wasn't a vision. It was a ram. He laid it on the altar and killed it, and blood ran out of it. It was a ram. God the Creator spoke it into existence, and he can do the same thing tonight.
Yes, he can.
God spoke it into existence, and he can do the same thing tonight.
Amen.
Why don't you write your name in there? Why don't you let that be more than a quote? Why don't you let that be more than the words of a preacher reading a quote? Why don't you let that be more than a good sermon or a bad sermon or a mediocre sermon or whatever you want to call it tonight? Why don't you make it personal to you? The same God that did it back there, he can do it again tonight for you, for your need. The same God that was Jehovah Jireh back then, he's still a provider for you tonight for whatever you have need of. God the Creator spoke it into existence, and he can do the same thing tonight. He can speak it into existence, the power and the operation of the Holy Ghost to transform a sinner into a saint. His omnipotence is here. His presence, he's here. He's still Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide.
Amen.
Not the Lord might provide, not I hope he'll provide, not maybe he'll provide, not, well, if I do enough good works, he'll provide. He's still Jehovah Jireh tonight. He's our provider. He's a present help in times of trouble.
Amen.
Brother Joel, he's your provider tonight. Don't let the devil lie to you.
Amen.
Sister Patty, he's your provider tonight.
Amen.
Doctors come and go and their diagnoses come and go, but he's a provider tonight.
Amen.
Amen. I'm just calling a few names tonight, but you read your name in there. What is your need tonight? Brother David, what's your need tonight?
Amen.
Don't wait on me to speak it. You speak it. Amen. You claim it. You walk for it. I'm not talking about just name it and claim it and things like that. But Brother Bam said, you profess it and God will make your body come into your confession.
Right.
He'll make your body obey your confession. Now that's either the truth or it's not. Paul said he's the high priest of our confession. It's either the truth or it's not. Jesus said, ask what you will. And you can have it. That's either the truth or it's not. He's waiting on you many times. Many times we're waiting on him. Lord, drop it out of the sky for me somewhere. And he's already dropped it right out into us, right? All just a basket full. Not just a basket full, but enough quotes and scriptures to where we've got plenty to take up 12 baskets full after the service tonight. And he just keeps dropping more and keeps dropping more and keeps dropping more. But there comes a time where you just can't wait for it to keep dropping around you. But you just go and begin to partake of some of it and say, you know what? That quote was for me. That scripture was for me. I'm claiming it. I don't care what the diagnosis is. I don't care what the circumstance looks like. I don't care what everybody else says. It's the word of God to me personally tonight.
Amen.
Go tell. 1960. And Hattie, maybe not knowing what the woman was saying, look how it bypassed the rich and haughty. Now this little woman, he says in this quote, she made about $200 a year trying to work on a little farm. Her husband had died. Hattie Wright, this was the third time that the third pull had been manifested. The first time was down in Salem, Indiana, when the first set of squirrels was spoken into existence. The second time was down in Sportsman's Hollow in Kentucky, where the second set of squirrels was spoken to existence. And we can argue to debate and debate later on about how many there was and all those type of things. But my dad gave me a piece of wood down in my office, a limb off of one of those trees in Sportsman's Hollow that Brother Charlie Cox gave to him. And I don't bow down, I don't worship it, and I don't pray to it, but I sure appreciate it.
All right.
They talk about relics and things. I wonder what they would have done when Elisha went down and laid it, or had Gehazi lay his staff on that little dead boy. They said, oh man, that guy's crazy. Look at him. He's going after relics and things. No, he wasn't telling him to worship the stick or pray to the stick, but he knew that anything that he touched was anointed.
Right.
And if one of his sons want to give me one of his guns or one of his coats or one of his hats, I'd sure put it on one of my children if they were sick. And they can call me a fanatic or a holy roller or a brandamite or whatever they want to call me. But I've seen what God does through prayer cloths and aprons and handkerchiefs.
Amen.
And he did it in the days of Paul, and he still does it in this day. And I don't care what anybody says. I've seen the proof of it. And so you've come too late to argue with me about those type of things. Amen. I don't make a shrine to it, and I don't worship it, and I don't pray to it. I don't do those things, but I sure appreciate those type of things.
Amen.
If I had Moses' staff, I would certainly respect it, and if we was praying for you, I'd probably come out and lay it on you, and I wouldn't care if they called me crazy or not.
All right.
This is the staff that parted the Red Sea. You say, well, I thought God parted the Red Sea. Go back and read what Brother Bram said. He said God was in that staff. The same God that said, have no graven images before me, said, make a serpent and hold it out before the people for their healing. You explain it all to me. I don't understand it all. It's not to worship an idol. It's not to put our faith in those things. But God can work through whatever he wants. He can work through a piece of cloth. In fact, Brother Branham said there was more healings and testimonies that came from the prayer cloths ministry than there was anything else that he ever did. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And Hattie, maybe not knowing what the woman was saying, look how it bypassed the rich and the haughty. Look how it bypassed everything and come to a poor little country woman there. And I had $20 in my pocket to give back to the woman. That she had pledged $50 on this new church coming up. And I don't say this to embarrass her. She couldn't afford 50 cents really to give it. But her heart and the message, she wanted to. Brother Neville, I believe, had accepted it. Wouldn't take the rest of it. Just let her give $20 of it. And I had two $10 bills in my pocket. Me to give me for groceries. I said, I'm going to give it back to her today. Here's a prophet of God. Seventh church age messenger. And his wife gives him two $10 bills to go down to the grocery store and get some things. Most of you brothers couldn't have handled that in the first place. And he puts the two $10 bills in his pocket. But he had need to go by the way of rights.
That's right.
Amen. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, you're getting fanatical. No, there was a man one time had a need to go by Samaria one time. Because there was a predestinated prostitute waiting down there. And he took his time out for her. Most of us wouldn't have had time for her. A lot of message people wouldn't have had grace for her to let her come in her church, their church after she got saved, but he took time for her. And that same God leads a prophet to go down the road, and they're traveling. He's got these two $10 bills in his pocket, and he gets out there and he begins to look around at her situation. And he begins to think, you know, I've got $20 in my pocket. I'm going to give it back to her today. I'm going to do something for her. She sacrificed. She doesn't have hardly enough to give. I'm going to give it back to her. Maybe you would have thought the same thing if you'd have been there. Then I thought, something spoke to me. Said, Jesus seen that widow putting in her three pennies and he never took it back from her. He let her go on because he had something greater down the road. Little did I know he was speaking to me the same way of a widow woman. No husband. Her husband was killed. Neither did I know that that was the same one when I said, then I'll keep the $20. You have something else for her. Sometimes we want to try to fix all the problems in the world. And God says, just sit back and shut up and watch. I'm already on it. I've already got it. Many times we want to, you know, run through the church and try to straighten everybody out and straighten every situation out. And God said, just keep your seatbelt on. Sit back. Keep your seat in the full upright and locked position. I've already way ahead of you working this thing out.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, I'm going to give this back to her. He said, I've got something better for her. I said, the only thing I know that Jehovah is still Jehovah Jireh. He's able to provide a sacrifice. Now, he's sitting there at the table in the kitchen, and Banks is there, and different ones. Brother Shelby Wright, Sister Hattie, and her two boys, they're snickering and laughing over in the corner, making fun. Their daddy had died, and here they are, a couple of juvenile delinquents. And this poor mommy's heart is crying out for her children to be saved. And a prophet of God comes in and sits down at the table. They don't have a seal book. He hasn't preached the seals yet. They don't have a church age book. They haven't been printed yet. They don't have access to the table to go and search everything that he said. All they know is the things that he keeps saying keeps coming to pass, and they're following this man. And he sits down at the table and he begins to tell them about down at Salem, what God did. He begins to tell them about down in Sportsman Hollow, the second time the third pole was put into effect. He begins to describe it to him and how Tony Zabel, when he couldn't find the third squirrel, Tony Zabel said, well, if our brothers told the truth, Lord, let him find the squirrel the next day. I thought, goodness gracious, how blind could you be, Tony? But he did go and find it the next day. In fact, he got a fourth one that he said God gave him on good measure. And here he goes down through there. He begins to tell this story in a widow woman's kitchen. Wonder what kind of stories Elisha would share with the widow woman when he sat down at her dinner table. Begin to tell of the things. Him and Gehazi would begin to tell of the things that God had done. Axe heads floating and things like that. And she could have sat there and thought, I can't believe that. I don't believe God would work in that way. And she wouldn't have got a blessing. This little widow woman, little poor woman sitting there, humble woman, Brother Ron Hamby told me one time, he said he had the privilege to go in her home and she offered him a fried bologna sandwich. And he had just ate and he said, no, thank you. And she said, too poor for you? He said, no, ma'am, I'm just not hungry. She was poor, didn't have a lot to offer. Didn't have a lot to give. Maybe some of you have been by and seen where her house was and different things. Wasn't a great big mansion, but a prophet was welcome in her home. Oh, my. He said, Brother Bram said he went down there and got off that plane in Memphis, went walking down through there into the black district, the segregation and stuff at that time. And he walked down through there and little Aunt Jemima leaning over a fence with her shirt soaked with dew and a man's shirt tied around her head as a bandana. Stand there, said, hello, Pawson. He said he went in there. It wasn't hardly nothing but a rug on the floor. He said, but there was a little sign that said, God bless our home. He said, I've been in king's palaces, and I never felt more welcome than I did right there. It ain't always the size of your bank account. We've got another account over there. Amen. I'd rather that one get bigger than the one down here. The one down here gets close to being overdrawn quite a bit, but my one over there, with the help of God, I'll never overdraw it. Amen. Every promise in the book is mine. Brother Bram said he'd bankrupt heaven to fulfill his word for you. And this little woman sits there and he begins to tell these stories about squirrels being spoken into existence. Now, she doesn't have a scripture. She wasn't there. She didn't see it. She doesn't have a newspaper to prove. She doesn't have a death certificate. She doesn't have a statement from the president. She doesn't have an authorized signature or a letter from the FBI.
Come on.
He says, down in Salem, just down the road here, this happened. And then down at Sportsman's Hollow, that happened. He said, the only thing I know that it was Jehovah is still Jehovah Jireh. He's able to provide a sacrifice. And Hattie, not knowing what she was saying, raised up and said, that's nothing but the truth, Brother Branham. Oh my, that was the right thing to say. He said, that was the right thing to say.
Amen.
That's nothing but the truth, Brother Branham. Seven little simple words. Didn't take an educated person to say it. Didn't have to have a dictionary to figure out what she was saying. Didn't have to have a Greek lexicon to interpret what she meant. Seven little simple words that she maybe didn't even think about, didn't plan out, didn't pre-think it out and work it all out and, oh, what can I say? She's listened to this prophet of God speak. And instead of requiring documentation like a lot of people want today and all these different things, well, I'll believe it when you can show me this, and then you show them that, and, well, I still don't believe it, but I'll believe it if you can show me this, and then you show them that, and they still don't believe it. Why? Because Jesus said even if one rose from the dead, they still wouldn't believe it. There's nothing in them to believe it.
Amen.
That man told Brother Branham, Church of Christ man, said, oh, we've got some dead people out here in the grave. Why don't you raise some of them up? He said, we've got a little girl here. So why don't I cut her arm and then you come and heal her. And that'll prove to me that you're a divine healer. He said, you don't need physical healing. You need mental healing.
Amen.
I love how he just put things plain. He said in one place, he said, some people need their brains baptized. She says these seven simple words. She could have sat there and doubted it. She could have sat there and questioned it. She could have sat there and thought, well, when he told my daddy that he was going to bury all those men that was making fun of him, not even knowing that he was a grave digger at the time. And then within 11 months, my daddy stands up and testifies in the tabernacle, and we have it on tape, saying that he had just buried one of the last men that had been making fun of him when the doctor said that he was going to die and Brother Bram said he was going to live, and they all begin to make fun of him. And he buried the last one the other day. Oh, that was one thing. But this whole squirrel thing, Brother Branham, I just don't know if I can go along with that. She wouldn't have got the blessing. But she says seven simple little words. That's nothing but the truth, Brother Branham. Oh, my, that was the right thing to say. That was the right thing to say. About that time, the power of God struck that place. I never felt such anointing. When it did, I said, Hattie, thus saith the Lord, ask what you will. I don't care what it is. God has given me the authority to give you your heart's desire right now. If you ask for $1 million, you can have it. Ask for that little crippled girl to get up and walk, she can have it. Ask for anything. She said, "What shall I ask, Brother Branham?" I said, "Anything that you wish, for thus saith the Lord." He said, "Oh, what a feeling." They can doubt it. They can question it. They can make fun of it. I'll say like Sister Hattie said, "That's nothing but the truth."
Amen.
What do you want, Sister Hattie? She had a burden for her two sons that were lost. Brother Collins baptized them a few weeks later. Got the picture of it. She could ask for anything. $1 million, right there. "I'd like to own Ford Motor Company." She could have had it. Why? It had "Thus saith the Lord" behind it. You say, "I don't believe that, Brother Nathan. I don't know how God could have orchestrated that." The same way that he orchestrated for Dr. Sam Adair that a building that a prophet of God had told him he would have, that all the documents and the deeds and everything said it was tied up and there was absolutely no way legally he could have it for 20 years. Brother Branham said, "You'll have it, Sam." And the next day he called him and said, "I'm freezing to death." How did it take place? I don't know. I know it had "Thus saith the Lord" behind it and that it happened. I don't need to know all the details of how God changed the deeds and the titles and whatever he had to do to change to make it happen. He parted the Red Sea once to get some people across on dry land. Not only parted it, but dried up the land for them to walk across. And then once all their enemy followed them just enough to get in there, he closed it back. To me, that's not, you know, some of these things we talk about that people question in the message, that's more supernatural to me than some of these things. I can't prove it, but I believe it.
Amen.
It's nothing but the truth. I can't prove that the Red Sea parted and went back together again. You say, "Oh, we've got 10 commandments." That's not proof. That's somebody's Hollywood effects. But I believe it with all my heart. I believe it with all my heart. That's nothing but the truth. You understand it all, Brother Nathan? No, I don't understand it all, but I believe it all.
Amen.
Sometimes I run across things and I think, I don't understand that. But I don't start a website with all the things I don't understand. I say, "That's nothing but the truth, Brother Branham."
Amen.
There's some things in the scripture. I don't know exactly all the way that it's going to be and hows and ifs and whys and all that. I don't understand it all. But I pick it up and I read it and I believe every word of it.
Amen.
Why? Because it's a vindicated word.
Amen.
Because it's a vindicated message.
Yes, sir.
Can you imagine when Moses took him out of Egypt there and he said, "Everybody stand back and see the salvation of God. How are you going to do it, Moses? How are you going to part the Red Sea? I just can't accept that, but it happened anyhow.
Amen.
Smite the rock and water's going to come out to let 2 million people drink of it. I just can't go along with that, Moses, but it happened anyhow."
Amen.
Amen. I believe what he said. And I like the fact that he said what he meant and he meant what he said, because sadly we got a lot of people around the message that they say one thing over here and then they say one thing over there and you scratch your head and you think, I don't understand. You know, this one says this and this one says that and then they say this and they say that and I don't know. I can't tell what they really mean. But with Brother Branham, you can sit down and you can listen and he just tells you how it is. And it's just, you can just take him at his word.
Amen.
This is what he said and this is what he meant. We don't need 20,000 interpreters to tell us what he meant. It's just right there.
Amen.
So simple that my 10-year-old can sit there and listen and say, "Daddy, did you know this? Did you know that?" And I think, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that childlike faith.
Right.
Amen. I remember as a little boy taking my allowance money and going down to Voice of God there when it was still at the quadrangle and going in. Sister Dodd, my wife's grandma, she tells the story sometimes. I'd go in there to those big trays and they were taller than me and I'd pull them out and she'd ask my mom, she said, "Does he need any help?" She said, "He knows what he wants." I'd go in there and pick out titles like "One in a Million." Listen to it. What was it? There was something down on the inside. Even as a little boy, there was something down on the inside that was speaking. And I didn't sit and think, "Well, how is this going to be? And how is that going to be?" I thought, "That's nothing but the truth."
Amen.
And as time went on, I began to see how God would vindicate that word. As we see it now, get up and read quotes and scriptures. And sometimes I get up here and don't know, "Lord, how on earth are you going to tie all this together? I don't have a bit more idea than some of you sitting there do." And God work it all out and somebody come up at the end of service and say, "Brother Nathan, you have no idea. You quoted verbatim my conversation in the car on the way here. This, this, and this that I said. And I didn't know it. And they knew I didn't know it." What was it? God is still vindicating this message.
Amen.
Amen. I don't say that to promote my ministry. I say that to promote the ministry that we're following.
Amen.
That he's still vindicating.
Amen.
He's still healing the sick. He's still raising the dead. He's still saving the lost. He's still filling the empty. He's still delivering the addicted. He's still doing all these things. We see him doing these things. Why? Because we're following a vindicated message.
Amen.
I'm proud to be following it. I'm proud that we don't have to take Mark 16 where it said signs and wonders and shred it in the shredder and pretend that it wasn't inspired, but we can stand and be a church that recognizes that signs and wonders still follow the believer.
Amen.
They don't just follow the prophet, although they did. They don't just follow the pastors, although they do. They don't just follow the evangelists and the trustees and the deacons and the teachers, although they do. But it said they'll follow the believers.
Amen.
Amen. You believer tonight?
Amen.
Amen. That don't mean everybody's going to go out and raise the dead. That means that God's going to move in your life, just like Brother Eduardo was talking about tonight. God's going to be there to answer prayer. God's going to be there to show you things. Right when you need it the most, he's going to show something to encourage you.
Amen.
Right when you're in your darkest of hour, Brother Bram said, that's when Jesus comes along.
Amen.
Maybe you feel like you're in your darkest hour tonight. Don't worry. That's right when he comes along.
Amen.
Don't give up hope. He's just around the corner.
Amen.
They thought he was 4 days late there in Bethany. He got there. 4 days late, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. He said, I am the resurrection life. Not I was or I will be, I am that I am. Amen. God bless you tonight. If the musicians would come. He's still Jehovah Jireh tonight. You have a need? He's a need maker. A need provider. A way maker. You have sickness? He's still a healer tonight. You have trials. Brother Bram said it. God takes trials and puts bits in their mouth, makes it do what he wants them to do. And he said the reason he does it, the reason he allows trials to come, is to bring us into a closer fellowship with God. You in a trial tonight, you ought to thank him. He's wanting closer fellowship with you. He's trying to stir your nest a little bit to get you closer to him, to get you desperate. Amen. He's still Jehovah Jireh tonight. Let's sing it together. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, you are more than enough for me. Jehovah, just worship him together tonight. Jehovah. Oh, my provider. Oh, I believe the shout of the king is in the camp tonight. Use more than enough for me. Jehovah Rapha, even when I'm sick, Lord, you're my healer. Oh, and it's by your stripes, Lord.
so much more. Oh, more than whatever you need tonight. Oh, he is more than enough for me. Let's sing it again together. Jehovah Jireh, you're my provider. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jehovah, even when there's sickness in my body, worship him tonight. He's worthy of it. Jehovah. He's here tonight. Why don't you speak to the rock? Why don't you speak? What do you have need of tonight? You don't have to sit there in the condition you came in. Why don't you speak what you have need of tonight? Say, Lord, this is my need. This is my need tonight. This is my prayer. This is my supplication. Lord, I need you on the scene tonight. I need you for my family. I need you for my finances. I need you for my physical needs. He's here tonight. Why don't you cry out to him? Tell him what you have need of. I need strength, Lord. I need victory. I need wisdom, Lord. I need more patience. I need more of your presence abiding in my life. Oh, what do you have need of tonight? Just cry out to him. He's more than enough. He's so much more than enough. You are more than enough for me. Oh, we're in the presence tonight. Let's just worship him together in the presence of play that softly tonight. Oh, we're in His presence tonight. If you truly recognize that, if you have a need tonight, amen, you don't have to go out of here with it. Maybe some of you seeking salvation don't know for sure if you really got it. Why don't you come down? Make sure tonight. Accept Him as your Savior. Maybe some of you young people, old people, middle-aged people, maybe you're not sure if you ever really have prayed through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost yet. You've been seeking Him, wanting Him in your life. Why? You don't have to leave here tonight without it. He's here tonight. You have a need in your life. You need deliverance from something. You need victory over something. You need a move of God in your life in some way. You need a miracle. You need a financial miracle. You need a spiritual miracle. You need a physical miracle. You need a family miracle. Maybe some of you praying for your children. Oh, get desperate before Him tonight. He's here tonight. He's a present tense God. He's a present help. He's our helper. He's our way maker. We're in His presence tonight. We're not in the presence of just men and women, brothers and sisters of like precious faith. We're in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Maybe Satan's tried to fight you, tried to rob you of your victory, tried to rob you of these things. Tell him he's a liar tonight. You speak whatever you have need of tonight. You drive down a stake, say, Satan, I don't care. You can lie to me. You can paint a terrible picture. You can try to rob me. I'm driving down a stake tonight. Tonight's the night. I'm speaking it. I'm not turning back. I'm claiming my family. I'm claiming my healing. I'm claiming my victory. I'm claiming a financial miracle. I'm claiming whatever you have need of tonight. Why don't you speak to Him? You're in His presence. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we enter into Your presence tonight. Lord, what a blessing it is to be able to sit in an atmosphere like this and feel Your presence brooding over us, Father. Oh, Lord, when we have needs, to know that You're the God that answers our needs, Father. When we have trials, Father, that You're the God that gives us strength to make it through the trial. Lord, I just ask You for strength for Your people tonight. Lord, give them victory. Give them healing in their bodies. Give them peace, Lord. Maybe the enemy has tried to fight them, tried to discourage them, try to knock them down, try to take the wind out of their sails, Father, but You're Jehovah Jireh tonight. Maybe they're in circumstances they don't know how they're going to make it through. They don't know what they're going to do, Father. Lord, may they just hold to Your hand, Lord. May You guide them each step of the way. May they lay aside everything else and just follow Your leading, Father. May they cling to Your word, Lord. Give us the strength that we have need of tonight. Be with each one, Father. Each need that's represented here tonight, Lord. May faith anchor down. May it be more than just words, but may faith anchor down and water those words. Lord, may they begin to see You moving mountains out of their way. May they see You, Lord, moving circumstances, healing their bodies, blessing their families. Lord, may You just move on the scene for each need tonight, I pray, Father. Lord, we speak shalom to Your people. Lord, we speak peace. We speak victory in the name of Jesus. Father, may You move in a mighty way. May You take complete control, Father. May You have preeminence in every life, Lord. May we lay aside every weight and everything that would beset us, that would hinder us from drawing closer to You, Lord. Help us just to enter in, Father, into that rest that You've given us, Lord. Help us to move, Lord, closer to You, closer to Your presence, to where all the world fades away, all the temptation, all the idle talk, all the bickering and arguing. Lord, help us just to stay so close to Your presence to all that just fades completely away and all we see is Jesus Christ. Lord, when everything else faded away on Mount Transfiguration, they stood there and they saw Jesus only. Lord, help us, Lord, when we look at a situation, Lord, help us to see You. Help us to see Your will. Help us to see what You'd have us to do and to say. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. My boat of life
sails on troubled sea. Ever there's a wind in my sail, but I have a friend who's watching over me. When the breeze turns into a gale, I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. I know he can calm our storms, make our sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Sometimes we soar like an eagle to the heights. Among the peaks our soul can be found. Then some old unexpected storm may drive us from the heights. It may bring us low, but it won't bring us down. Oh, 'cause I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. Oh, I know he can calm your storm, make your sun shine again. Sing it that way again together. Oh, I know.
I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. Sails on a troubled sea. Ever there's a wind in my sail, but I have a friend, he watches over me. When the breeze turns into a to the high, among the peaks my soul can be found. An unexpected storm, it may drive me from the heights. It may bring me low, but it can't bring me down. 'Cause I know I know the master of the last calm storm. Let your sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. In moments like these, I sing out a song.
Singing, I love.
just lift your hand to him and sing it again to him that way. We're singing. Oh, express your love to him tonight. I read this for you earlier tonight. I just want to read it one more time. Brother Bram says this in God's Provided Lamb, 1956. He's still Jehovah Jireh tonight. That'll provide the sacrifice. And every time that a man or woman will take his word and step out on it and call it the truth. Amen. He's still Jehovah Jireh tonight. Whatever you have need of. Amen. God bless you tonight. It's been good to be in his presence. Amen. I believe we'll hear testimonies back of different things that God's done in the service tonight. Amen. He's still a present tense God. Amen. Let's sing this together tonight before we go. Oh, I need more of you, dear Savior. That's the way. Till there's no room left in me. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now, from the start to the finish. I need more of you, Father. Confess that to him tonight. Oh, more of you. Yes, Lord. Till there's no room left in me. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now, Lord. From the start to the finish. Bless you, you're dismissed tonight. I need more. More.
Lord, that's the way it's got to be. Lord, I've got to have more, so much more of you, till there's no room left in me. Lord, all those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now, Lord, from the start to the finish. Counts the stars one and all, knows how much sand is on the shore, sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas,
take control of everything, of all creatures great and small. And he knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. Oh, he knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain, can't see the light of day. Oh, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Don't know what tomorrow will bring, I can't tell you what's in store, I don't. To the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed, and he knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. Oh, he knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain, can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine. Oh, he knows my name, counts the stars one and all, knows how much sand is on the shore, sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas, he's in control of everything, all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. Oh, and he knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day, tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store, I don't know a lot of things. Don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed, he knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. Oh, he knows my name, but I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day. Oh, I know I'll be just fine, he knows my name. Oh, I pledge allegiance to the land with all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor his command. I pledge allegiance to the land. Oh, I pledge they would
not tonight, like a great old choir sings. I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the land with all. This cause for Jesus tonight still goes on. Now the time has come to count the cost, to reject this world and embrace the cross.
I pledge.
With all